Excellent. There we go. Perfect. Love this.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Conversations from a Room. It is a beautiful night here in Los Angeles, California, and I have a wonderful guest, Benjamin.
Benjamin, that's my name.
Does anyone ever call you Benjamin?
My mother calls me Benjamin.
Oh, see, that's what happens when we get close. I start calling you the names your mother calls
you.
The
full name.
So, Benjamin what? Button?
Benjamin Michael, after my father, Theobald.
Really?
Yeah, Theobald. Yeah.
Theobald.
Theobald, yeah.
Benjamin Michael Theobald.
Theobald. There you go.
That is pretty, that's the name of a boot, first of all. That's crazy.
How appropriate.
Yeah.
For
that's
a man
like
a, who
that's
loves
an
his all
boots. American, like, that's a name from like the 1800s.
I think you just described me an all American boot. Yeah. If I
yeah,
were,
yeah.
if you
like,
put
obviously
me
in. obviously, like, the creator of like an all American cowboy boot is Benjamin Michael Theobald. That's crazy, man. What a nutso name. Like a good one, though. Don't get me wrong.
Thank you.
My name is Christian Lugo. So it's K-R-I-S-T-I-A-N. So
yeah.
In school, when I was a kid, whenever we had like a teacher.
Kristen?
Yeah, Kristen or Christina.
Yeah.
Teachers would get that
and
all
I'll
the time.
Be real with you. I saw you on the
email
sheet.
List?
Yeah, and
yeah.
I was like, Kristen?
Kristen.
I was like, who is she?
Hot.
I was like, is she available? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sad and lonely. I would love to.
Yeah, there you go. Well, hey, you're here now, Benjamin.
Yeah, I know. Gosh, we're in a room
we're
talking.
We're already on a first name basis.
I know. Oh, my God. And you're calling me Benjamin?
I know, right?
Yeah.
You're closer to your mother than your own mother. Yeah. So thanks for coming, man. I really appreciate you being here.
Thank
oh,
you
L-
for
Luna's
having me.
Luna's already freaking out.
It's okay.
For guys who don't know, this is Luna the podcast dog. Luna, it's okay. Benjamin's a friend. Come
although
here.
I don't look like one. Yeah.
I know he doesn't look like one.
Yeah.
And for those of you who can't see Benjamin, he is covered in, like, I want to say, like, old-timey, like, motorcycle gang tattoos.
Very,
But, like, beautifully well done.
Very, like, it's funny because they're very, they're dark and scary.
Mm-hmm. There's something out of like a children's nightmare.
Exactly, but they're
but
also
they're really, really cool though. Like something out of like a fun, like almost like a what's that? Christmas Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yes,
type of thing.
Like
yeah.
A Tim Burton.
Tim
kind
Burton
of thing. Yeah.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
No, they're really, really cool, man. I've been admiring them since the few weeks that we've known each other.
Thank you, man.
And we actually talked about it last time I saw you.
We did.
I was curious on where you get them and
yeah.
and what inspires you to get those
yeah.
those the.
But
yeah, what was
like,
your first one?
You can't see my first one. It's on my back.
Oh, I thought
yeah.
it's on my it, ass.
It's
or
on
something.
It's on
yeah.
it's on my left ass cheek.
Yeah, yeah,
and, yeah. No, it's on my back. It's of an we were talking about it before. It's of an elephant.
Oh, it's an elephant.
It's an elephant, like a big elephant, like the front of it,
mm-hmm.
and then on its back there's a the city that I'm from, Louisville, Kentucky.
Kentucky.
Yeah, and my
that,
big,
that explains Theobald.
There you yeah. go. Yeah, and we were and yeah. it's yeah. I'm from Louisville, Kentucky, and I got it. We were drinking in my buddy's basement. He was an art major. And he made a tattoo gun
mm-hmm.
out of a PlayStation 2 controller. And he tattooed this son of a bitch on my back.
Wait a second. How did he do that?
I have no idea.
But was it mechanical or
yeah,
the,
mechanical.
Really? With
mm-hmm.
a PS2 controller?
Yeah, he made it. He fashioned it. He's a genius. He's now...
And now he's Spider-Man.
Yeah, now...
he lives in Brooklyn
he's
or
Peter
Queens.
Parker and he... Yeah.
yeah.
But yeah, he made this thing and now he's a tattoo artist in my hometown and it's crazy.
That's great,
yeah.
man.
Mm-hmm.
Good for him. Yeah, that's... well, what you have so far is really cool. So, yeah.
It's working.
I would keep it up, man. You know?
Yeah, I'm
you,
going
you,
to.
Last time we talked, you said you get a new one every few months.
Every few months, yeah, yeah.
yeah
I'm
yeah.
trying to... Until this
mm-hmm.
right... This is my right arm I'm touching right now. It's,
yeah, yeah.
Until it's covered.
Really?
Not sleeved, but covered. Yeah, I'm not going to stop.
If I don't have any tattoos. If you notice, I'm completely nude.
That's okay.
I don't
right
even
now.
Have clothes on.
yeah.
If I got my first tattoo, what's a good spot? Because I'm always skeptic about a spot to get a tattoo. And for all you guys out there who want a first tattoo, what's the most important thing about getting the first tattoo and where should it be? Because that's a lot of people don't get it because they don't know what to get. They don't know where to put
where
it.
To put
it's,
it.
A, it's a big, it's a huge, like,
yeah.
It's a big commitment.
I think it's, again, I don't
and
want
I'm getting, I'm actually slowly starting to get into, like, wanting to get a tattoo now. So.
Oh, man. Do you want to be able to see it?
I would like to.
Yeah. Then I would honestly, yeah. man, this is a great little space. This is my second one ever.
Okay. So just right below the, this is the armpit. The
inside of my bicep.
Yeah. The inside of the bicep.
And it's
yeah.
kind of a cool spot because you can cover it yeah, most of the good. Time, mm-hmm. but you can also see it when you want to see it. And that was my second one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was like when I got my very first one in Los Angeles was mm-hmm. this. It's like a,
it looks like a skull of crow like a, skull. A crow. Yeah. yeah. Really cool, man.
So yeah, I maybe there. That kind of hurts like a son of a bitch just because it's like a tender spot.
Don't get me
spot.
Wrong. I'm going to cry the first time I get it, okay?
That's,
I
can't that's do, a, yeah. That's okay.
I don't do well with pain. That's another reason why I don't want to get it because I'm like, I don't want to have to go through that. It's not like going to the doctor.
An hour and a half of your life. You'll be fine.
Hour and a half?
Yeah.
That's how long it takes.
That one took an hour
and a half. I thought I was going to be there for 10 minutes.
What do you want? It's a, yeah, it's a
no, I know, it's, yeah. I know it takes a long time.
Beautiful, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, man. So let's get back to your hometown in Kentucky.
Kentucky.
So what was it like growing up there?
We're Southern boys.
Southern boys. Yeah. Yeah. I grew up in Florida. You grew up in Kentucky.
It was good, man. I was very fortunate to be where I'm from. I dig it. It's a smaller city mm-hmm. in comparison to the rest of the United States. But like, I guess it's the largest city in Kentucky.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
again, it's not saying much, but there was this just like, it's this awesome blue, like progressive
sure,
city
blue collar,
amongst
yeah, yeah.
this horrible red mm-hmm. state. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Kentucky, but that's the way it is.
And I think if you can go in there still loving your people
yeah.
and still creating, you know, your family there, whether it's your old friends or your actual family or your distant family. And, you know, I think that's the best thing about, you know, politics today is that whether you're Democrat or you're Republican, if you guys all have the same moral compass, you guys have the same sort of like idea of what is makes a good nation, what makes good people, what makes everyone happy, healthy, and you know, gives them the freedom to do what they want, what they say.
Yeah.
But also at the same time, you know, like I said, having a attitude toward all politics, you know, whether you're, you know, whatever race you are, whatever religion you are, I think everyone should sort of meet in the middle. There needs to be compromise.
Cutting
yeah.
In.
Anyways, I know politics is such an iffy area, but.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It is. And it's certainly not something that is like a be all end all there. Mm-hmm. But certainly with my extended family, it's mm-hmm. a lot of different.
Yeah.
Different views than my own, but yeah, I have pretty moderate parents, mm-hmm. considerate, understanding parents, mm-hmm. and that's kind of how it was growing up. I was fortunate. Like I'm like Anthony Bourdain. I like mm-hmm. to say it's like the worst thing my parents ever did to me was love me and care about me unconditionally.
That's good.
Just to make me look for a reason to rebel.
Yeah, yeah. That, yeah. It's funny too because it's like I think about that too because I had a pretty good upbringing. My parents were really good parents, and they didn't really do anything wrong. But I'm always like, shit, I wish I can be mad at them. I wish I can have like this tormented childhood so I can have something to be mad about.
Mad about, right?
But I just get pissy
yeah.
and annoying because I'm just like I just get pissy and annoying. And I'm like, but I didn't have to. I struggled here and there like everyone else does, but I didn't have to like really work harder. I was the average as any other kid, you know.
Me too. And,
I'm grateful for it too. But it's just like, yeah. But also, as you get older, you start to realize your parents are kind of crazy.
Oh yeah, and my parents are definitely crazy and definitely yeah. you know did their doing. But like, I'm gonna do the same thing mm-hmm. if I ever have a kid. It's gonna be like I'm gonna fuck that kid up just as much as my parents fuck me up. Which, in the grand scheme of things,
sometimes
it's not that much.
You can't help it, you know.
I know.
You know, you're doing your best to be a parent, and if you make a mistake, I think there's always room for redemption. You know what I mean?
Certainly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and my certainly my father is making mm-hmm. up for that. Like, in
yeah,
the long,
yeah.
But yeah, but for the most part, it was easy growing up there. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in Louisville.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, and it was, you know, I was raised Catholic, which, mm-hmm. you know,
same
I have
here,
all
yeah.
this guilt and stuff.
Catholic,
yeah, you know
yeah.
what it's all about. Yeah.
So you're all American. Do you have any other descent?
Yeah, my dad's adopted. So
oh, really? Okay.
He's from here. I mean, he was born, I think he was born in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
But his family is from, I think his mom and dad are from, it's I think it's called Alsace-Lorraine. It's like, I don't know how to say it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like a little tiny, it's like over like near Germany in France,
oh,
near the Mediterranean
Europe.
Sea. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
If you looked at my dad, you would just be like, he's definitely not from here. He's
oh,
very
really?
Dark complected, does not look American, got
oh, okay.
stopped a lot.
How did he meet your mom?
They met at Western Kentucky University.
Oh,
in
cool,
Bowling
man.
Green, Kentucky. My pops was a, I think he went to Western for like a semester, but then dropped out and was working for, I think, WDRB, which was a news station. My dad's a cameraman.
Is he really?
Yeah, and my mother was a reporter for that same. They both worked in news for a
local,
long time.
For a local news, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and then they somehow ended up, my dad ended up in Louisville working for Wave 3, and my mother, I think, worked for another news station there, and then, yeah.
So your parents love famous in their town?
Not at all. Not even a little bit.
Really?
Yeah. Now, my dad was chief photographer at Wave 3, and then
doesn't
do news at all anymore.
Because I always assume, like, people who do news are, like, the Ron Burgundy of their town. You know what I mean? Because on TV, whenever someone is, like, the headliner of some news channel, or even if they're, like, they do weather, or they do, you know, they do certain spots of the, you know, the town, you always assume that the people love them. Like, oh, they're famous in their town. And
especially,
you know,
like, somewhere in, like, Kentucky. It would be like, oh, yeah, that guy, I see that guy all the time. Like,
yeah,
no,
yeah,
but my
sure.
dad was behind the camera, and my mom was a reporter.
Oh,
so, yeah, my dad
see,
was a cameraman, and,
yeah, yeah.
you know, my mother was a reporter, and then...
So one day he was filming her, and he was like, wow, she's beautiful.
She's beautiful. Let's get a close up on that mug.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I don't know how they. No, they. My mom like bought him a drink.
Really?
It was weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is weird for my mom because she's like super conservative and like.
Maybe she was. She really had it for your dad, man.
She must have. Like my chocolate.
Was your dad a
father.
Cool guy? Was your dad kind of like a
dude? My dad.
Outgoing?
My dad is. Yeah, he's very very cool.
Is your dad the extrovert? Your mom the introvert?
No, it's actually the other way around.
Okay, that's usually how it is. I just didn't know.
Mom is more extroverted. My father's more introverted.
Okay.
Although I think that over the years, my father probably used to be an extrovert, but then it's just kind of gotten to the point where he much more enjoys the company of himself.
Who do you relate to more, your mom or your dad?
I'm a good mix of both of them.
Yeah, that's
I'm
good.
I'm outgoing, like my mother. And
I like to say that my parents... gave me the worst of their qualities and the best of their qualities. You know what I mean?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah
me
yeah.
too. Yeah.
You know, it's a gift and a curse.
What are the worst qualities? I want all the pain and suffering. Give it to me.
I would say the worst. Yeah, right. Let's pause. I'd say the worst is just like I'm good with it now, but I used to not have patience. You know what I mean? I used to just be really like. I would kind of snap really quickly because I think my mom or my dad are both like that. If they don't get what they want right away, it's... Oh, someone's home. Hey, Rach. Come on in.
Hi.
Come on in.
Hey, Rachel.
Nice to meet you.
Hello.
Once again, Rachel interrupting the podcast.
Nice to meet you. Oh, my God.
Oh, Ben and Rachel haven't met yet. I forget. This is my fiance.
It's so nice to meet you.
Also my
Rachel.
Roommate. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say...
You have no patience.
Yeah, I guess for a long time, I remember thinking like, man, I'm always so... Not snippy, but just like... I get aggravated easily.
Yeah.
And I remember going home one year and realizing that my mom and my dad are both like that. And they don't have any patience. They don't have time to stop and think before they just speak, you know? And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's
I can
terrible.
Relate to that still.
So
yeah.
Yeah. So now I really just kind of tell myself, like, I literally have to, it's a mental note, like, okay, take it easy. Don't freak out. Don't, you know, don't scream or throw something. Just talk it out, you know?
Really? That's
you're
fucking A.
Because my parents can get like that, like especially my mom. Like she gets agitated easily, and she'll go from 0 to 10. Like she'll just start screaming. You
and you
mean?
Do that too?
I used to, yeah.
Damn, you do not take me as somebody... I look like somebody that would
Ask Rachel.
Yeah.
No, but like...
Don't say anything.
Not that I get like aggressive or anything, but I'll just get so upset. You know what I mean? I'll be like,
agitated.
I don't want to do this shit. Ah, fuck it. I can't, you know? Where now I'm just like, it's fine. You know, we'll figure it out.
We absolutely will figure it out.
It's going to be fine. You know what I mean? And yeah, for a long time, that's kind of what I was like. And I noticed my parents are still that way, but I think I mastered it.
Yeah.
I
would say so, because I certainly wouldn't...
What?
No, I just wouldn't... I certainly wouldn't take you as somebody that flies off the fucking handle.
Yeah, because I feel like
is irrational.
I feel like, you know, half the time in public, you're at least for me, I'm keeping it cool because I don't need to lose my shit. It's mostly when I'm home alone. You know what I mean? Because when you're alone, that's when your demons come out. You know what I mean? When you're home alone, that's when your true self comes out. You know what I mean?
You have to just sit with yourself and be okay with it. And...
But now I can literally sit with myself and actually like tell myself, okay. Take it easy, you know.
That's so good. See,
I haven't
learned how to do that yet.
No, really. I think, like, right now I'm reading this book called Radical Acceptance.
Oh, shit.
Where it's basically, we'll get into this in the books. But
yeah,
it's,
no,
it's
okay.
It's like a book that tells you to, like, accept, you know, your flaws and just, and use them for your benefit. You know what I mean? So you don't have to,
maybe in the process of doing that.
Sure, exactly.
Yeah, I certainly haven't mastered that yet.
Yeah, no, no,
by
no.
any means. It's certainly in my mother is that I, and this is something that I've come to terms with lately because I'm really not good at, like, complimenting. I was, like, talking to my fucking therapist.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, like, 2 weeks ago. And she was like, what do you, like about yourself? Like, what's, like, a good quality that you have? And I
next
had a fucking, like, I was just like, oh, shit, I don't like this question. Like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was able to figure something out. I was journaling, and I was like, you know what? And my dad actually said it. I was interviewing him for my podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, you're very good at communicating with just about anybody. I can have a conversation with just about anybody and I think I'm more moderate than I think that I am and not as radical.
Sure, sure.
And I can have a conversation with somebody and try to find a happy medium in the way that one, you know, whoever, you know, what one person is thinking as opposed to what I'm thinking.
Yeah, yeah. We know each other from our class. So we take this acting class. It's always like a weird thing to say where it's like, yeah, I know him from my acting class. It's like, oh, okay, cool. It's just like a weird
great thing. I'm so interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Let's hear more. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of times where we'll be doing stuff in class, and you know, because a lot of times actors are very insecure or skeptic about their choices and all that.
I know, dude.
And right off the bat, I noticed you were very helpful, because you would say, this is, you know, you're doing great, or that's very funny, or I think you're very talented. And it really brings up people's spirit, and you're like that with everyone in class too, which is great.
And it's nice. It's nice to be around people like that too, mm-hmm. the talented yeah. people. And I'd spent my whole fucking life just like being an asshole and like wishing that I was somebody
Sometimes
else.
Sometimes you got to be an asshole to realize that you can't be an asshole anymore.
I
know,
and it's all I did, man. Yeah. I was like, for so long, I was just such a prick to so many people. And
I mean, you know
what,
man?
Me well.
I noticed that in our young years, you can't blame yourself. You're young, you're immature, you're a little dumb, you know what I mean? And
very dumb.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think like I said before, like, redemption is a beautiful thing, because I think people who love are forgiving, first of all.
Yeah.
And if you open your heart up, if for a lot of people, if you fear something, you're gonna just have a negative attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was for me. If I was scared, if I was intimidated by something, I had a negative attitude.
Put that wall up, yeah.
So you put that wall up, but I think mm-hmm. if you open up your fear and you face it on, like, it's okay. If you say it's okay to be scared, you have more inner peace, because you can realize that, you know, you could be nice to people and you're not gonna like shut down, you know, you're not
yeah.
gonna feel insecure
yeah.
more. You're just gonna feel like you're opening up your heart. They're gonna feel welcomed, and you're gonna have that support. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's just living in this city, it's so much, I hate to just do that, but it's so much bullshit and lacks a lot of genuine, you know.
Yeah.
Just people being
genuine.
There's
a lot of fake.
Yeah.
People out here.
Yeah, we don't even need to go into that.
Yeah,
but it's
yeah.
just like I try to be genuine. To
I think honestly, I'll yeah. say it right here, right now, I think you're very genuine.
Well, I appreciate that,
and that's why I brought you here, because I feel like you're a genuine person.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
So for those of you who don't know, Rachel's cooking a very loud meal in the kitchen right now.
Keep it down there, please.
She's doing a whole meal in the kitchen.
I was literally in here
and
was like,
sit there.
I was like,
did it
listen?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm so sorry. Yeah. I'll keep it down.
Okay, so Benjamin from Kentucky, from acting class.
From acting class.
So how did you get into acting, first of all? Even though your mother was a famous reporter in her own town.
I know. Yeah, so world famous.
Yeah.
I don't even know, man. I think I just didn't.
You're one of those guys who's just like, yeah, I just do it because, you know, I have the time.
Dude, I just like, I'm an artist.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, man.
But you're good though, man. I like how you look on screen, man. Like, and like, your acting style is really cool. I like it.
It's interesting.
It's good because it's like,
it's interesting.
It's not a lot of young actors are very theatrical and over the top. You're a very subtle kind of like. James Dean, especially what you did last week was
hysterical that he says that, ladies and gentlemen, because all I've done for the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years is be incredibly big, loud, and bombastic on
stage.
Well,
I think maybe you hit a point where you felt like that was too much.
Yeah. But no, I got into it, honestly, like, I think, not thinking about it now, I played a lot of sports, I went to Catholic school and all
yeah.
that stuff. And I didn't, and I felt out of place just because I didn't really shine. I wasn't very good at any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, I was always kind of like goofy and funny and fat. And
oh my God, were we the same person?
Possibly.
You're basically describing me in like middle school and high school.
Goofy, funny, fat. What's
yeah,
up?
Goofy, funny, fat. Yeah.
And then I was like, I need a place where I can shine. So I tried out for.
So you're completely opposite now. You have like the tattoos. You're in pretty great shape. And then you have like the Hollywood haircut.
Oh yeah, they're just the ridiculous like shapes. And I now I've
no, it's
I've,
not ridiculous, man. You make it work. For
it
sure.
is. Well, now I can't leave this because yeah. it's in my.
It's your symbol.
It's my headshot.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like I can't cut my. I want to shave my head. I used to have really long hair.
Same hair.
Like curly. Your hair's pretty long still.
Yeah. Well, yeah. longer.
yeah.
Longer.
But yeah, no, I did all that. You know, I tried out for 42nd Street and in I think my seventh grade year in grade school. We had this like crazy awesome like theater program.
Sure.
And I got cast well and then did it again. And then
and you fell in love with it.
Yeah, I did. I did. Yeah.
There's something about being on stage that you realize that there's a high that you've never would have expected
yeah.
or would have known to ever like. You know, you never would have thought I would like to do this, you know what I mean?
Right? Yeah. I mean, yeah. What about you? I mean, is that what
I don't know. I think I just sort of wanted to try it as a kid in middle school is when I first started doing it. And I think I just thought it would be fun. You
yeah.
know what I mean, because I love to like you said, be goofy. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Exactly.
And I was like, well, if I can do this for school, I might as well. You
yeah,
know, if I can take a class where I can be a clown.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what happened. And it just segued into like it being more taken seriously. You know what I mean?
Right. And do you remember when you started to take it seriously?
Definitely towards the end of high school.
Yeah.
Because even in high school, I was kind of just like, oh, we're doing what? Fucking Wizard of Oz. Sure, I'll be whatever.
The lion?
I don't care.
Is that you were the lion?
Yeah. No. What was it? We did Alice in Wonderland. I was the Mad Hatter. That's what it was. And okay. I was still just like, but it actually even that role, I was like, oh, people think I'm funny, and I was like, I should really take this serious. I should continue to try to be funny, but like, don't be funny goofy. Be like, find ways to be funny in a way where people wouldn't suspect you to be funny.
And I think
you know
that
I mean?
Certainly coming from, I mean, you've capitalized on that like to the fucking fullest.
I try my hardest, man. I want, because it's like, yeah, I think a lot of people can be funny, which is great. But there's certain elements that you have to sort of kind of understand that would make it a little, tweak it up in a way where it makes it more interesting. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
No, absolutely. And yeah, I think that you've done that. Pretty goddamn well.
I'm trying, dude.
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah. Trust me. Yeah, this is
the
genuine.
I've watched only the best movies. Hangover 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Yeah.
Those are the top tier comedies.
Those are your favorites? Yeah.
No.
Some of my favorites, too. Yeah.
No, I think the first one is good. No. Actually, it's funny. I was watching Monty Python the other night. And I'll go back to that to watch like some of the best comedy.
Yep. It's the best.
Like, if I want to write sketches, if I just want to like find inspiration, I'll watch Monty Python. I'll watch old stuff. I'll watch like Bill Murray stuff, like from like the 70s. You know,
oh,
like
wow.
Ghostbusters.
Okay. Yeah.
I love old stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's, to me, it's like the stuff that's inspired today is from all that.
It
know?
Is.
Those were the seeds.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Everything just grows from there.
It does. And that's crazy. Yeah. Cause I don't know that whole camp of the Monty Python thing, but I listened to John Cleese and I listened to, yeah,
for
that,
sure. John
yeah.
Cleese, Eric Idle.
Uh-huh. I listened
to
the two
amazing.
Of them. I listened to the two of them.
Yeah.
And was just like, this is just like where it all started and how they were doing all of, you know, all of that sketch and doing the, you know, that is where it all started.
Well, let's
and
get into film, man. Let's start talking about, the theme, my favorite thing. We talk about movies,
hell of a
music
segue.
And books.
Hell of
so,
a segue.
So this is the best part of the podcast. I like to ask the guests what their favorite movie is, what the worst movie they've seen lately.
Okay.
And the
oh
best
God.
Movie they've seen recently.
Awesome.
Okay.
Okay, so don't do the same thing with music because
No, because music can go on for days.
So can
film, but I feel like
and I'm not a film guy. Like my knowledge of all things, I like what I like and I don't like what I don't like. But
sure.
Yeah, but my favorite film of all time is Back to the Future.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
wait a second, are we being serious right now?
Dead serious. It is my favorite film of all time.
This is why we get along, because that's also my favorite film.
No
of all time. Yeah, no, I'm dead serious.
Yes,
I'm dead serious. Look, you see Doc Brown, the Lego Doc Brown on the bookshelf.
Oh
right
wow!
There?
Yeah, look at that.
Yeah, look at the DeLorean right below him.
Oh my
God. Yeah. Can you look up there? What's
How
that?
Did I not? Oh my!
I got a flux capacitor. I got a Mr. Fusion.
Oh my!
Yeah.
Dude, I didn't. Yeah. How did I not see that when I walked in?
It's kind of it's a very busy room.
That's so subtle. That's so rad.
No, that's my favorite. God, like my favorite trilogy. Yeah.
It is. It's amazing, man. It's like the perfect. It's just the it's funny.
You know what it is, man? It's lightning in a bottle.
It really is. Yeah. It's so
they can never do it again. If they do, they have to do it 50 years from now, where no one knows what Back to the Future is.
Yeah,
and if they did, it would be terrible because it really was like one of the best trilogies of all time.
That's insane. I wish that I would have come in here and seen all that and said that just to like
now we can just enjoy it even more. Yeah.
Oh my, it is. It's the best. It's so. I can watch. It's got so much rewatch value.
It's charming and fun. And just
it's Zemeckis at his finest.
Zemeckis at his best.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Zemeckis, but I think everything else he's done is pretty average. Yeah. Are you a full trilogy guy? Or are you just like one and two? Mm-hmm. Okay, all three? Yeah. Because I love the number three, too.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I think a lot of people don't like it. Yeah, a lot of people sort of drifted away from it because they were just like, it's not the one and two. But the thing is that Zemeckis always wanted to make a Western.
Yeah.
So it was his perfect opportunity to make a fun Western.
Yeah.
And that's what it is, you know?
It's a fun Western. It doesn't take itself so seriously.
No, it doesn't.
It's so good.
Must have been off a dead Chinese man. You know, it's like, it's a fun movie. You know,
a little bit racist. It's okay.
Yeah, it's true.
And then, so makes it so fun.
Yeah. Yeah, so, okay, so if you can, I would say rate 1, 2, and 3 from best to worst. Not worst, but, like, from your favorite to, like, whatever. But I guess you can't really.
Right? No, they're just, I think all three of them are here. The trilogy is amazing.
Yeah.
And it's like that, it was such a big part of my childhood.
Yeah,
and
for
still
sure.
Lives on. It's like, yeah, my sister and I watch them.
Yeah.
I watched it when
I went home for New Year's. I watched it with my family.
Yep,
yeah.
I watched it with my little sister.
Yeah,
we watched 1, 2, and 3.
1, 2, and 3. Yep. Yeah, that's you have to go. Rach, have you seen all three?
I have, but I haven't seen the third one like forever, so I don't remember
any. She hasn't seen the third one.
Yeah, she's never seen it.
I don't remember any movies though.
Yeah, she forgets. We can watch a movie a week later. She's like, "Oh,
did we watch that?"
Yeah, no. Literally, she'll be like, "What's the ending?" I'm like, "Rach, we just watched it 2 days ago." She'd be like, "I don't. Was did he explode?" Like. No.
Did he explode?
No. Yeah, we.
You guys watch The Hurt Locker?
No, we'll be watching like Darjeeling Limited, and she'd be like, "Oh, who dies?" I'm like, "No one. They all live. Like, it's fine.
It's okay."
Even though in a Wes Anderson movie, there's always one character who dies.
Has to die.
Are you a Wes Anderson fan?
I am. I do Wes Anderson a lot. And I hate to admit that I do like him because he is so...
It is it's kind of like a hipster sort
of
theme.
It is, but he's the thing...
No, he's great. I love
him. You certainly cannot hate a director. He has capitalized on his like, whatever his image is and his production design and all of that and the way that he does things, you know... all of you know his DP and all that stuff. It's a style, but it's beautiful and it's his own. It's like
because what I noticed, he has like a theme where in every movie someone falls in love, someone dies, and there's one other thing I always notice. But yeah, those are the two main things. It's someone always there's always like a love interest that someone falls in love.
Yep,
and someone there's always a death in a scene. Mm-hmm. I notice that in every one of his films, which makes things interesting. You know what I mean?
They're good, man.
Yeah,
I do
like Wes Anderson.
I don't think there's a single one that I don't like.
Yeah. All his movies are solid.
My favorite is Rushmore.
Me too, actually. Yeah.
I love
Rushmore. Yeah.
Oh, it opens up with that creation song.
Oh my gosh. I actually bought the screenplay because I was obsessed with Bill Murray's character in that movie because I always thought he was so subtle and funny. Because in the script, because I wanted to read the script to see how his character was so that I can tell the difference between what choices he would make that were genuine, not genuine, but more like natural and just at the moment, or if it was in the script.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this one scene, I don't know if you remember, where the teacher's teaching a painting class.
Oh!
And he's hiding behind the tree. And he comes up to her. And it makes me crack up every single time because he tells her, I think he gives her like a note. And after he leaves, he like runs off. That's not in the script.
And he just did it.
That was a choice of Bill Murray. And that's why I think he's a great comedian. And that's why it's great.
Man.
It's good to understand the script and understand the actor because it's like, you can make those choices and you can amplify a scene because you're a good actor or you're a funny actor or you make good choices. It doesn't always have to be in the script. The script is there to guide you, but you have to give it your own spices. Man.
And that is why, and it, therein lies what you do. Mm-hmm. That's like what that it's. Yeah.
Yeah.
You do that all the time.
I'm always trying to find kinks in the script where it's like, okay, where can I make
and
this?
I don't do that, man. I'm such a terrible, my thing is that I love control and I like to be, you know, I like to be in control.
Yeah,
and,
no, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
And, so but, you're kind of scared to like step out of your box. You know what
just
I mean?
But in general, not just in acting, but I also have
but
this
I
like
there's
chaotic
times,
craziness too.
Yeah, if for sure.
And they butt each other.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the thing that I admire so much about what you do. It's like, yeah, the script is here, but like, but what's going to get you noticed is the shit, is the kind of shit that goes on. When you bring it, when you bring yourself to something, it makes it, like what you're saying
with
Bill
Murray.
You have
to be a little crazy, though, because it's like, you have to go to an extent where you don't care if it looks bad. You know what I mean? If it's stupid, that's okay. Take two.
Yeah.
Take three. It's fine.
Doesn't matter. Yeah.
It's, you know, it's okay. That's the beauty of it. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
You try again.
And I've had so, I wrestle with that all the time. I want it to be perfect.
I
want to get it
honestly,
right.
Honestly, man, I've seen you do good stuff, and I know you can try whatever you want. And you know what? I don't think anyone's going to give you a hard time because you're good. Because you're not like an obnoxious, like, you don't experiment on things that are like, dude, that's a stupid idea. That's a stupid choice. You can do those things and someone will be like, that's good. Try it this way. Or that's great. Keep that up. You know what I mean? Just try it. You know, whatever. I think it's always, there's always room for you know, having fun. I mean, that's,
yeah, I know.
In a dumb way to say it. Like,
it's not dumb.
If you're not having fun doing it, then it's, probably, what are we, you're what not, are we probably do, not doing it right.
What are we, or what are we doing here?
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Like, yeah, it's like, Jesus Christ. Yeah, at what point does it become a job?
Exactly.
And, yeah, not something that you're passionate about.
So Back to the Future.
Back
huh?
to the Future. That's the favorite.
That's awesome, okay. Dude. I'm so, you know, I'm going to shake your hand.
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
I love that.
Well, we'll have after this podcast is over, we're going to do a Back to the Future talk.
Yeah,
just you and me.
It'll be perfect.
Yeah, cool.
So that's my favorite. Then we have to do my,
what? The last movie you saw that really blew you away. That you really liked.
Oh, it's a tie, really.
All right, whatever. You can be
honestly. It's well, because okay. So I loved The Favorite. I thought it was.
Haven't seen it.
Oh, yeah.
We have the screener. Rachel gets the screener, so we're gonna watch it soon.
And I think you'll love it.
Yeah,
I think
it's, I hear it's great.
That I don't know how to say his name. He's a Greek director.
Oh no, I don't know.
I think his first name is Yargos.
Yarvin Yargo. Sure.
Yeah, whatever. Doesn't matter. Excellent film. I saw it by myself.
Dude, I go to the movies all the time by myself. Yeah.
I don't ever go. I like snuck in a beer at the ArcLight, like Sherman Oaks. I was like laying in like on my couch, like listening to a record, and I was like, I get the fuck out of my house.
Yeah. That's you sound like me on a normal Tuesday.
My thoughts are getting to me. I gotta get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Just laying on your floor.
Yeah, I was like, get me out of the house. Who am I? And so I went and saw it, and I was laughing by myself and having a good time, and I think that director and everything that he's done is just so, it's so brilliant. It's so funny and so off the cusp. It reminds me, it's almost like Beckett. It's very off the wall. People are speaking like very bluntly and quickly and it's smart and it's dark and it's a
Waiting for Godot type piece.
It is. Yeah. It really is. And it's not so morbid, but it is, there's just so much to it. And it's like, cause everybody sees that. I've had so many people say like, you know, I saw the trailer. It looks like this. It's a period drama. Right. And I was like, no, it's not.
You know, I haven't seen it, but I understand it's one of those films that inspires actors to continue to do what they love to do. You know what I mean? Because it's like,
certainly,
you know, it's a lot of the times, which is cool, but you know, you do things, you watch an Avengers movie. It's like, oh man, I want to be a superhero. But it's just like, yeah, that seems like a lot. Or it's like you watch, you know, a comedy. It's like, oh, I want to do this new show on NBC. That's great, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what we all aim for, you know what I mean? But then you watch movies like this, like The Favorite, or we have Black Klansman, which I want to watch.
Oh, so badass! It's a great film too.
You watch movies like that, and you're like, this is why I want to do this.
Yeah.
Because the feeling that these films give you. It's like, it's almost like you're watching, like, if you're a basketball player, and you're on the sidelines, you know, you're watching these athletes, and you're like, I want to do what they do, man.
Yeah.
They look like they're so hungry and passionate, and they're working so hard to make this, they're just making this project. They're just putting stuff together, words and lighting and cameras. Sure, it's all just a a spectacle, but once you see it on screen, man, it's a huge deal for actors. You know?
It
and
is.
And anyone who's not an actor in general, you know, to the fact that you can entertain someone who, like, for example, like if my parents watch a movie and they enjoyed it, that's a big deal, because it's hard for like a lot of, like, you know, Midwest people or, like, you know, little towns to enjoy a good movie, because it's like it doesn't connect to them the same way to other people. You
yeah,
know
I know, especially something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
That movie is bizarre, but
oh, I heard
in my favorite ways.
Yeah, yeah.
I love the bizarre. I love the off the cusp. I love, you know, mm-hmm. I'm a Shepherd child. I love mm-hmm. Shepherd, Beckett.
Mm-hmm.
Even like Artaud, like all that theater of cruelty, all that stuff.
Like experiment, like avant-garde sort of.
Avant-garde and very visceral and mm-hmm. like raw and just, and it's something like that. It just, it is smart and mm-hmm. it is weird and strange, but it lacks pretension. It's just so, mm-hmm. it's just so of like, it just has come from a place of pure, just like emotion that, mm-hmm. that something that isn't like insecure or anything like that. Not trying to do anything.
Yeah, and it's something
anything.
That they don't take the time to really show or reflect in on, like, for say TV shows.
Yeah.
Or mm-hmm. like big blockbuster films. You know
yeah.
I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
You it's know, you, like, you go to the theater to go watch, you know, Black Panther, which is a good movie. I guess I'm just trying to think of like a Marvel.
It's okay. It's, yeah, don't go.
How are you about the Marvel films? Do you like the Marvel films?
I'm indifferent. I think that they're.
I love them. I think they're great.
I think they're fun.
Yeah.
And
I'm not gonna be like if Marvel came to me and like, hey, do you want to be in a film? I'd be like, hell yeah, because those look fun to do. Those look awesome. And I like
that's
like
where you and I differ. See, I would say no, I'm not doing that.
Oh really?
No, I'm kidding. No, I would absolutely do it. Give me the money.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But like I've seen all. I love going to the theaters to see all of them. You know what I mean? Like,
and I've seen. I haven't seen the Ant-Man one, but I've seen mm-hmm. all the other ones. Yeah, and they're fun.
Yeah, they're great.
Especially like the I remember being in college and going to see the first Avengers and being mm-hmm. like, I'm not seeing this with a bunch of these fucking nerds. Like, I'm not going to see this.
And what did you think of it?
Films. Like, I'm a real actor. All right? Yeah, it was amazing. It was so, the first in Avengers.
And that's how people think today. Like, they're still very pretentious when it comes to these movies.
Why? They're so much fun, and they're getting they're spending all the money. They're getting the best actors. They're getting the best writers. Joss Whedon wrote the first one.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, it was amazing. It was so funny and smart, and it's like, I think that Marvel is not trying to be anything that it's not. I think that it's doing.
I think they're just.
And I'm not a comic book guy. I'm not.
Oh, I love comics.
I know you.
Actually.
That's what you were saying. You were saying you're a comic. And
I read a lot of comics.
But I love it. I'm genuinely like interested in that world. Mm-hmm. And I saw the one with Thanos, the last one,
Infinity Wars.
Yeah. And I will see the new one too.
Sure.
Which is called
Endgame.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the only reason I know that is because this Sam Beckett play. Yeah.
Is it really?
The Endgame. Yeah. Endgame.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, you don't know Endgame?
No.
Oh man, it's a bizarre play.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've read Beckett obviously in college, but mm-hmm. I haven't heard of Endgame.
Endgame is, I read it in college. It's one of the, I don't even know, like, the lesser known. There's not that many of them. And
there's a few of them that I remember reading that were good, but they're all, like I said, they're all very kind of not experimental, but kind of out there and avant-garde.
They're weird.
So, I was going to say, have you seen the new Spider-Verse film?
Dude, I downloaded it today.
Today, yeah.
I cannot wait to watch it.
It's really good. Wait, what do you mean downloaded it?
Like,
you have a
pirated the shit out of it. I'm not going to pay.
You should go see it in theater. I mean, like, if you don't mind seeing it, like, on your TV, but it's a big screen film. Like, I would go see it on the big screen.
Nicolas Cage is in it, right?
Yeah, but he plays, like, a minor character.
Well,
he's not,
I'm sold.
Oh, you like Nicolas Cage?
I love Nick Cage.
Oh, that's cool, man.
Yeah, Leaving Las Vegas.
Gone
60 Seconds.
Raising Arizona.
Absolutely.
I actually just recently watched Face Off for the first time.
Oh, it's so terrible.
I actually like, I mean, it's a
no,
terrible
it's,
movie.
It's amazing.
It's
oh,
a good movie.
It's so good.
It's really
yeah.
weird and cheesy and like, it's crazy.
But it's amazing.
But it's cool.
Yeah.
It's a cool movie.
I love that movie.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's
no,
great.
No, no,
and
yeah.
even John Travolta is fun to watch in
yeah,
that movie.
Right?
Yeah.
John Travolta? Repeat what you just said to me again.
John Travolta is fun to watch in
exactly.
that movie. Just wanted to make sure I was correct.
Yeah,
The funny thing is, as you're watching it, you're thinking to yourself, how in the hell did they make this movie?
And it made money.
And it made money. And, like, did people like it when it came out?
They loved it.
They loved it? But, like, in the way that we love it now, where it's kind of ironic? Or?
No. No, they loved it. they loved the film. They're, like, these two
I guess it was the early 90s.
Huge actors. Yeah.
I mean, it's an insane film. It really is. They would never make a movie like that now.
Iconic.
It's crazy. Yeah. Man. Well, it's a fun movie.
And so the worst film?
Yeah,
is that,
so, like, what's a, when you think of, like, a movie that is so bad it's good to watch, what do you usually think of?
Oh, like in general or just like recently?
Yeah, in general. In general, yeah.
So bad that it's good to watch.
Guilty pleasure film.
A guilty pleasure film?
It can be a comedy, an action movie, a drama.
Oh, a chick flick. I just had a
romantic comedy.
This isn't even it, but I mean, Corky Romano.
Oh my god.
With Chris Kattan?
For sure.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Oh, it's so terrible, but
dude,
it's so good.
I saw that movie in theaters. Yeah. Yeah, when I was like 10. Yeah, that's
definitely one. Oh man, all those.
I don't remember. How do you explain that movie? I forget what it's about.
I don't even remember. He's like in. He's in this like mob family and he's like a mole in the CIA.
Yeah, but he's like a goofy guy.
Yeah, but they send him into the CIA to try to get like. To try to like destroy evidence against their like mob family, and that's what he does. Yeah, he goes in disguise as Sergeant Pisson, and it's Pissant.
Come on.
Yeah, and it's so
it should just be called the movie should just be called Pissant.
Yeah, at that point. It's so with Chris Kattan who's just completely disappeared. So that's a perfect example. Thank you for like making me rack
and
my
you,
brain.
And
for
you
that.
Watch it like every so often.
Oh, I've seen that movie 10, 15 times.
Why that movie?
I don't know, man. I find Chris Kattan just so charming.
He is good, man.
And funny. It's just like...
Night at the Roxbury, I remember him a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was fun.
There's definitely a nostalgia to it, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely that.
Yeah, because it's like that 90s kind of like free form sort of fun.
Yeah, and it's by no stretch of the imagination.
It's when SNL movies were like being made every 3 months.
Fuck, yeah, man, I guess it would be considered an SNL film because... Chris was in that camp. I don't know who directed it, but yeah.
Yeah, probably like John Landers or something.
But yeah, that's definitely, for sure.
Cool, man. Cool.
Uh-huh. What's that one for you? You said...
Oh, man, I don't know. It's funny because...
You said Wolverine, but that's not yours.
That's my buddy's. Yeah. For me, like a good... You know, I like the DC movies, like they're for fun. Like I'll watch... I like the Superman, Batman versus Superman.
Never seen that.
Yeah, yeah. Those are recent. I'm trying to think of an old one. A good bad movie, obviously, is like, have you seen Troll 2?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's like I've a good, like, I remember watching that in college and just laughing my ass off.
Oh,
just being
man.
Like, yeah. It's one of those, like, The Room where it's just like, it was supposed to be taken serious, but it's just so bad, it's funny.
It's so good.
Yeah, one of those. Like, I love that stuff.
It's so it just gets to the point where it's so abysmal that and they're trying to the worst part about it is that they're trying to make this like beautiful film.
Yeah.
It just makes it that much more.
They want it to be like the best thing they've ever made.
Yeah, I know. And you're just sitting there going, God, these people suck so bad.
You know, what's actually one for me that I used to. I think I've said this in the podcast before, but in college, in high school, I had gotten my family had gotten HBO for the first time.
Oh yeah.
And so every night, I would stay up to like 3 a.m. watching Bad Boys 2.
I thought you were going to say like be a normal young kid and like you watched like Cat Hat. What was it?
Like a normal kid. I mean, that's a given.
Bad Boys 2? Yeah, okay. Yeah, you were watching Bad Boys 2.
I was watching Bad Boys 2.
But Bad Boys 2 is a fucking dope movie.
But that's the thing.
And they're making a third one.
It's a Michael... Isn't it Michael Bay?
Yeah, it's Bay.
It's like... It's just like explosions and girls and nonsense.
That's what you want.
But that's another like good, bad
movie.
That's
what the people
it's
want.
It's so bad that you're just like, I'm enjoying this. It's over the top and enjoyable.
Absolutely.
And that's one of them, Bad Boys 2.
I completely agree.
After like 7 episodes of Cat House or whatever.
After you've watched Cat House over and over
for like
and over
2 hours.
Again.
And then after it's like 2:30 in the morning,
then
I
you watch
to Bad Boys
2.
Exactly.
Yeah. Perfect.
All right, we're like at 50 minutes. Let's quickly do. I know it's quickly, but music.
Oh,
let's talk
God.
About music.
No.
Into, like,
I can't. This is a whole other podcast. So
well,
I like.
What's
I
like your top 5 favorite groups?
Impossible. It's an impossibility. Yeah. I like so much music, it's absolutely
You probably
ridiculous.
Even like rap and R&B.
I was listening. I just recently started reading the Beastie Boys book.
Yeah.
And I just started to revisit License to Ill and Ill Communication and Paul's Boutique and like I love hip hop of the now and of the late and of late like 90s.
Who's
New
who's,
York?
If you can recommend someone now that people are, can listen to,
you know what? I've been listening to a lot of Brockhampton.
Brockhampton.
Brockhampton is this like little collective. There's,
that sounds like a Pokemon villain.
It might be. Yeah. The thing is, like that's so appropriate.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, they're this collective out of Texas.
Oh,
and
really?
Yeah, there's like it's like nine guys, and they are so. They're so unique in their production and in their lyrics and in their storytelling, and it's so rad. And they just came out with an album a couple months ago called Iridescence that's great, but they've got several, and it's just like I cannot stop. They hit hard, they bang like any other rap song should, but they tell this beautiful story, and their production is so avant-garde and beautiful.
Yeah,
but
I
like
check that out.
Man. I like rap. I do like all the old stuff. You were playing Leonard Cohen when I came in here.
Yeah.
I love that.
I'm really into folk right now. So
who like
Leonard Cohen for sure. Yeah. I've been listening to a lot of this artist named Johnny Flynn. He's like a British folk artist.
I don't know Johnny Flynn.
He is actually I knew him from a show called Lovesick. It's a show on Netflix. It's kind of like a romantic comedy, but he's actually a really good musician.
Mm-hmm.
But he also does a soundtrack for the show called The Detectorist. Have you heard of it?
No.
It's a really good show. Do you have Amazon?
I do.
Yeah, it's Amazon Prime.
Yep.
Yeah, it's called it's just The Detectorist, and he does like the soundtrack for it, and it's really good. It's
Johnny
very,
Flynn.
Johnny Flynn, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, Johnny Flynn, yeah.
I will absolutely look that up.
Yeah, yeah, check it out. He's really good. I'll show you after this. But
yeah,
perfect. It's a good show, and he's a really good musician. I mean, it's a little bit kind of light folky, so it sounds like what you would see in like a romantic comedy.
Totally,
I mean,
okay. Yeah. I've been listening to a lot of Noah Gunderson lately.
Oh, really?
Yeah, man.
That's cool, man.
Seriously, there's no... Yeah. Like on the way over here, I was
listening.
See,
that's good. You have no filter for music because if it's good, it's good. It works.
It does. And
I'm
also like what you just said. You said, listen to this guy, Johnny Flynn. Mm-hmm. I will absolutely listen to it.
Like, I never would have thought I would listen to country music, but I started listening to Chris Stapleton and I was like,
That whole collective down there.
Him,
everything that him and Jason Isabel and who's the other one? Sturgill.
Simpson. Yeah,
they're all
doing.
They're just
because they're like they're redefining like an alternative like rock and roll country sound. Yeah,
yeah.
And it's really good.
They're doing a great job. I love it so much.
Yeah, well, great, man. That's awesome. I feel like we're on the same page here.
Oh yeah, but all of it. Like,
did we just become best friends?
We did. Yeah.
Nice.
I think so.
Back to the Future.
I know. Back to the Future. Folk rock.
Yeah. Awesome, man. Cool, dude. Cool. So if it comes down to like. If you're driving, like, what's your favorite go-to like driving music? That's the home runner right there.
Again, that's hard because it's whatever mood I'm in.
Yeah,
but
it's true.
Yeah,
this is a
whole nother podcast. But generally, I'm in a pretty at night. If I'm driving home from work, I want folk. I want something sad and depressing.
Yeah, same here.
Just like,
it's beautiful.
Yeah,
right?
It is.
That's sort of beautiful sadness is great. Mm-hmm. It brings up people would make fun of me like, why are you listening to this? Like, I would listen to Waits.
Yeah, there you go.
And people would be like, what are you listening to? I'm like, come on, just give this. Let me have this
perpetual sadness.
Yeah,
it's amazing. Yeah,
because he's one of those poetic artists. That you hear his pain.
He's like the folk Frank Zappa. He's so weird, but he's just got all this.
Have you heard Closing Time?
Of course. Yeah, come on.
Best album.
Get out of here. Yeah, I love Tom Waits, man.
Yeah, he's the best, man.
But like, yeah, anything in that realm, whether it be that, you know, like Waits and Dylan and.
Who else is there? Leonard Cohen.
Yeah, Leonard Cohen, Nick Drake, like that whole sad singer-songwriter of that era, but also of this era. Like, come on, I can get behind any of that. Like, on the way, I was listening to Fionn Regan on the way over here.
Okay.
Another, like, just sad singer-songwriter.
A good, like, recent poppy sort of alternative is, have you, you know, the Decemberist? They have a new album. It's actually really good.
Amazing.
Have you heard it?
I have.
It's great. Like five mm-hmm. songs, simple,
best
fun.
Live, yeah. Best live performance I've ever seen in my entire life.
Oh, you saw them?
I saw them. I've seen them several times, but I saw them in 2009 at mm-hmm. Lollapalooza.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really know who they were. They played,
yeah, they seem like a good band to watch live.
Dude, I don't remember. It's the album that came out that year. I can't remember what it's called. But they played it in its entirety, and yeah. it had me just floored.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely floored.
Yeah, no. Yeah. A folky bluesy band
mm-hmm.
anywhere live.
Give me it.
It's gonna, yeah, I want gonna it. Blow you out of the water, man.
And then one more. Punk rock is also my thing of the 1970s.
Okay,
that's like
cool,
my
man. Yeah, yeah,
my
yeah.
bag. I know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Too
yeah.
much and love it too
what's,
much.
What's a band you can recommend?
The New York Dolls, the best. They're
really?
The background.
Do you
back,
like that old Irish punk?
The background of my phone.
Like, what would you? Oh, let me see. I don't see it now.
Oh boy, there they are.
Oh, that's old punk right there, man.
The
that's
Dolls,
awesome.
Man, dressing up yeah. in drag and being awesome in yeah. New York, and yeah, that's very much a
cool,
part of me too. So yeah,
I think a band that. It's a little bit more mainstream now, but that really hit me hard was Alabama Shakes.
Oh,
yeah.
And where's their album, man?
I know, right?
Where is their new album?
I know, right?
We had Colors and Sound yeah. in like 2014.
Yeah,
Sound and Color.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah.
It's like
which when I heard for the first time, I was like, this is a wonderful album.
It
this
is
amazing.
Oh,
yeah,
Dunes and
yeah,
oh my
yeah, yeah,
God.
Yeah. No, it's great.
So good. I love that album.
I actually have it on vinyl because I love listening to.
What's
it.
Her name? The lead singer, Brittany,
Brittany
Howard.
Something, yeah.
Howard, I think.
Maybe. Sure.
Yeah.
I believe that.
Yeah, she's
amazing.
She's, I've seen them
so talented
too many times.
Yeah.
To count.
Yeah. Oh, you've seen them. You must have gone to concerts a lot then.
I've seen them four times.
Where do you go? You travel for them, or
yep, travel. Yeah. Lollapalooza, Bonnaroo. Yeah. Louisville's a great place for live music. There's a one. Forecastle Festival is in Louisville.
Cool, man.
You know.
Well, next time you go to a concert in town, let me know. Because I don't really travel a lot, but
I'm going to a concert Wednesday.
Where's who's playing?
I'm seeing the Foo Fighters.
Wait,
and
where is this?
The Foo Fighters, Ryan Adams, and Metallica.
Holy
are
shit!
Are at the Forum, and they're doing a tribute to Chris Cornell.
Really?
Yeah.
At the forum. That
yeah.
sounds amazing.
They're doing a huge.
Well, I will
to...
let you know.
Yeah, Chris Cornell.
I need at least a month notice.
But
for,
we can
for
yeah
any
no
planning,
dude
but...
for sure. That same night, there's an awesome band called Winnetka Bowling League. They're
really?
Playing at the Moroccan downtown. Mm-hmm. I was gonna go to that, but then I was like, I love the Foo Fighters,
yeah, yeah.
so I was like, I'm going to see the Foo Fighters.
What's the theater that's right here on Sunset? The Ford.
Oh yeah, Ford
yeah,
Theater.
Yeah,
yeah
they,
it's
they
great.
Play great stuff all the time.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
yeah it's
yeah,
a big
yeah.
giant venue.
I wanted to go see Tommy York.
Oh,
yeah, I love
so...
it. Radiohead's my favorite band. So
really?
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I think I knew that.
Yeah.
yeah,
yeah. I might have told you.
The best, dude.
But,
I'm a big fan.
But he
fan
was doing
of...
a solo show here, and I love his solo stuff. So
it's amazing.
He's great too.
And
yeah.
I love Greenwood too.
Yeah.
Johnny? Oh.
Yeah. Johnny Greenwood.
Johnny Greenwood's
yeah,
a
yeah.
fucking legend.
Have you heard his score music?
Of course.
Oh my God, There Will Be Blood score. Amazing.
And also the Phantom Thread score.
Oh, Phantom Thread, of
Get
course.
The fuck
yeah, yeah.
out of here.
He also did what's the one with
The Masters.
The Master.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Philip Glass.
Oh yeah, dude.
Oh yes.
Absolutely. Yes.
Oh, dude, this is great. Yeah, yeah. So.
Again, a whole nother podcast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just
yeah,
talking
for
about
sure,
music.
For
I,
sure.
I could babble.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
No. yeah for when it comes to score music, like Philip Glass, Johnny Greenwood,
mm-hmm.
top two. Obviously, John Williams.
Yep.
You have
absolutely.
To. He's the best
mm-hmm.
of all time. Yeah, I'll listen to score music. Have you heard of Johan Johannesson?
I have not. No, that's,
you need, that's something
Johan
that I know for sure that you will like.
Okay.
Look it up just to make sure it's, I'm
note.
Spelling it right. And he's wonderful.
Awesome.
I mean, he's just like very dark and like kind of eerie
mm-hmm.
score, but it's beautiful. Fortunately, he passed away about a year ago.
Oh,
he had
shit.
Like an overdose. Probably
as,
because
as most great artists
because he's
too.
Probably like a genius artist and
mm-hmm.
a lot of times
yep.
most artists they can't handle the you know the
thoughts
the weight of their geniusness and so you know sometimes
yeah. mm-hmm.
shit happens you know
I trust
but
me
I pray every day that we artists make it through the whole piece of this
I
life
I know man
yeah.
it sucks because most of my heroes
yeah.
are dead
yeah
and they
know.
Died of overdoses
Philip
mm-hmm.
Seymour Hoffman
there you go
best guy ever
mm-hmm. overdosed.
Robin Williams.
Mm-hmm.
You know
see
I mean?
Ya. Yep.
Yeah. You know, it's just it's one of those things where our idols are they're just so beyond our spectrum that
mm-hmm.
I we don't know. You know,
fragile and
yeah.
sad.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
yeah.
So anyone out there,
vulnerable.
If you're an artist, we all love you. We're all here for you. Let's stay together, guys. All right.
Yeah, seriously.
Because we're a team.
Oof.
Let's stay together.
It's so easy to
We're
go.
We're family, guys.
Yeah. It's so easy to go to that place, that dark place.
Yeah. And we've all been there.
Jesus.
We've all been
every
there.
Every day of my life.
But that's why we love film, and that's why we love music, because it's an escape.
Yeah, and that's what we're here talking.
It helps us. Yeah.
Not, yeah.
Exactly.
Not, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we're at an hour right now. So let's try to get to our end.
We blew it.
Really quick, is there any books that you can recommend that you've read recently or you're reading right now?
Yes. So I read all the same books. I read nonfiction. This is going to be really quick. I like to read about people that inspire me. That's just kind of my thing.
That's the same here, yeah.
Terrible reader. I'm dyslexic. It's really hard for me to get through books.
I remember you saying that, yeah.
Yeah, and it's...
The fact that you do read recreational is...
Yeah.
I give you points for that because I'm sure it's
it sucks.
Not only the time that you have to take to read a book, but if it's difficult, I mean, come on. You can literally just watch a film and get inspiration from that, but it's important to read,
it is. So if I could recommend one, I'm rereading Medium Raw right now by Anthony Bourdain because he's just a hero.
Yeah, Rachel loves him.
I've got all of his books. I've read them several times.
Another artist who know sadly we lost.
But if I can recommend anything, it's, and this is coming from the music mind, is Please Kill Me by Legs McNeil and Jillian McCain. It's just like a retelling of punk rock in the 1970s in New York.
That's awesome.
And it follows in chronological order, basically a bunch of interviews in chronological order and of subject matter from 69 to maybe 82. I don't really remember the time frame, but it's just got all of these incredible
the
people.
The pinnacle of punk rock and
in New York. It's got all of my heroes and all these great stories and these beautiful pictures and all these artists that I love.
Yeah.
I mean, just, for what they were doing and just kind of going out there and laying it all on the line. And
I think the beautiful thing about reading stuff about artists or people that inspire you is that when you realize that you can relate to them even more through, their writing or their story.
Yeah.
It inspires you
to
do what they did, or at least follow in certain steps where you can fulfill your dream or whatever you want to do. And you can be like, this they're thinking the way I would think, or or they're doing the thing. There's certain times where you might disagree with them.
Absolutely.
What I mean? But you understand.
But that's why we do it.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You understand where they were going or what they do. And you use, their motives.
Yep.
For your art, you know what I mean? So,
give me one. What's yours?
I actually recently read Leonard Cohen's autobiography.
His autobiography. It's so fucking good.
It's really great. It's a big one too. It's about yay big.
Yeah, it's thick.
But that one is really, really good. That one took me a while. But I liked that a lot. You really dive into his actual his world into music, drugs, meditation. The meditation aspect of it really hit me hard because I like meditating.
Yeah, and I hate it.
Yeah,
and when I read that, I was like, wait, Leonard Cohen meditates?
Yeah, well, he used to meditate up in Mount Baldy, and they have a retreat there, and it's still going on, and I'm considering going out there for
weekend. Yeah,
because I love meditating. It really does a lot for me.
Yeah, it's...
And a lot of his stuff really stuck to me. And I always recommend this one. It's Steve Martin's Born Standing Up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love Stevie, man. Steve
Born
Martin,
Standing Up?
Born Standing Up. I'll show it to you. It's up here.
Well, I'll read it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's a quick read, actually. It's really good.
I love his plays.
He's a have you read
Zigzag Woman?
I just read
Picasso and La Panagio.
No, I haven't gotten to that one. There's Shop Girl, which I want to read, but there's one called Pleasure of My Company.
Yep.
Oh,
dude,
I've finished it.
I've read all of them.
Oh, they're great.
It's
so charming and so cute and fun.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I did the Zigzag Woman in college, and then was obsessed with him, and then read all of them.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a great writer.
Dude, you would be the best Einstein in Picasso and the La Panagio. It's so good.
I have to read it. Yep. I definitely have to read it.
All right.
All right. So let's go to our closer. Right now, I like to ask the guests at the end of the podcast, what is their ideal, their favorite breakfast?
This is a terrible question to ask me.
I get that every time. For some reason, people hate that question.
It's a terrible question.
I'm literally just asking their breakfast.
If I said a Marlboro 27 and a coffee with two Splendas, would you kill me? Or
that's it that's your favorite breakfast, dude. Holy shit, you know what, and you told me this before, you love David Harbour. That is David Harbour's breakfast. That is literally his breakfast in the first episode of
I know, and not anymore, but now it's like,
oh, so a pack of Marlboros and a what?
No, just a Marlboro.
A Marlboro, yeah. I'm assuming not a whole pack.
And a black coffee with 3 Splendas. But
why Splenda, not sugar?
What? Oh, dude, I'm afraid to eat. You drink calories, of course.
Oh, but Splenda over sugar?
Oh yeah, it's terrible.
Come on, man.
It's terrible.
Splenda's the worst.
But honestly, my favorite.
Take the dude. Don't worry about the calories. Have the real sugar.
I know.
Splenda's probably worse.
My favorite breakfast, though, honestly, would be a bowl of Honey Bunches of Oats.
I love it.
With sliced bananas and blueberry.
Perfect, dude.
Yeah, that's honestly... Perfect. Because I'd have it every
once in a while.
Are you
an almond milk guy or a whole milk guy?
Just whatever's in the fridge.
Yeah. So just like soda.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, just like Diet Coke. Yeah.
First the Splenda, then Diet Coke.
I know. No.
It's a double negative.
There's usually almond milk, but sometimes I'll have regular milk. It's just like... What I'm feeling.
What's your diet like? Are you any strict diet or
terrible? My diet is so restrictive and terrible, but at the same time so loose, and that's a whole other podcast.
Yeah, I'm the same here. I mean, I don't eat beef. I don't eat pork. Because I love animals. I was vegan for a long time.
Oh shit, nice.
And I was vegetarian for a long time. But now I just started eating fish and chicken again.
Good, yeah.
Because you know, I try to buy sustainably sourced foods. You know, I only buy from like the farmer's market or like from local grocery
stores. Hell yeah. I buy GMO. I love GMOs. Yeah, like, I love Ralph's.
I know it's gonna sound annoying. Oh, I love Ralph's too. Yeah. I know it's gonna sound annoying, but I only ever buy organic.
It's not annoying.
Yeah.
That's
But
because you're doing it non-ironically. You're doing it because you care about it, not because
and Rachel got me into it. Like, she's been like this for years. Like, she's well known for being like a sustainable lifestyle.
I saw the almond milk when she opened the fridge. I saw all that. And she brought this like beautiful like real carrot out from the kitchen.
Yeah, like we go to the farmer's market every weekend. We buy like fresh organic veggies and fruit.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I'm not like that. I
love animals. I don't think I can eat beef or pork. Like I think pigs are such smart animals and all that, you know. I usually just buy from like local farmers markets and like local farms where they treat their animals, you know, fairly well, you know. Because I never liked like the farming agriculture lifestyle. And I always felt like the treatment of the animals is what bothered me, because it's like, you know, I don't want them, you know, suffering such a hard life, and then we just put them on our plate and stuff in our mouths.
Trust me, man. My father worked for KFC for 20 years. I know
what they do. Well, you're from Kentucky, so it's everyone who's born in Kentucky gets a KFC coupon, and they have to go straight to a KFC.
Yeah, so absolutely. And then we just stuff our faces with KFC. Chickens that have been, you know, standing their own shit for...
That's what happens, man.
3 weeks, yeah. Right?
But so you would say just cereal? Like there's not like a traditional like eggs and bacon or like French toast, pancakes. Dude, I always get pancakes a lot.
I grew up eating buttermilk biscuits like that my mom would make me, but honestly that's the Honey Bunches of Oats with almonds, man. That's my...
And then on your way out, just a cigarette.
Yeah, just one like nice little Marlboro 27.
With a cup of coffee.
With a cup of coffee.
Yeah. Just dark coffee, just as it is.
I drink it black in the mornings, and then if I drink it at night, which I do, which is terrible. But like,
same here. I know. I can't drink it after like 3 or 4.
That's I do. That's what I'm saying. So I'll drink it in the morning, black, and then at night, like when I want it. Because I'm a bartender, so I work by night. Mm-hmm. I'll have it with like 3 Splendas.
Yeah.
Throw that in there.
Yeah. Try sugar. Try pure sugar.
Oh, so good. It's okay.
That's funny, man.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get to our closing. So is there any way you want to promote yourself on, like, are you on Instagram or Facebook?
Twitter? I'm not on Grubhub. Twitter. Yeah.
OkCupid. Yeah.
You can look at my Hinge profile. It's really, it's really...
Do you really
great.
Have one? Promote it, man.
Absolutely
Let
not.
The ladies find... Are you single?
I am not. No, I am single. But I'm kind
just
of...
Broke up?
No, I'm kind of seeing a girl. Mm-hmm. Sort of, yeah. And I, yeah.
Okay, cool. So, well, shout out to the mystery girl.
Yeah, she's a mystery.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I'm no self-promotion here. I've got an Instagram. It's not important.
No. If anyone wanted to find you anywhere, because they're like a...
Instagram handle's at Steely Phil. It's Steely, you know, STEELYPHILL. Yeah. It's a shout out to Hey Arnold. That's the...
How's that?
That's Grandpa Phil's nickname, Steely Phil.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, that's fucking so love funny. That shit. So that's you awesome. Can find me there. But honestly, if you want to talk to me, just, you know...
find you on the street.
Yeah, just talk to me like look we're talking now.
Look for a LA-looking guy with a bunch of cool tats and probably a leather jacket.
Yeah, and so there's several of us. You'll never find me perfect. Yeah, that's the way I want it. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, that's...
Probably eating a bowl of Honey Bunches of
Oats. Honey Bunches of Oats, smoking a cigarette. on the lone streets of Sherman Oaks. But yeah, that's, you know, no self-promotion here. I've got nothing going on right now.
Hey man,
so.
You know what? I think you got a lot going on. You're selling yourself short. You know, yeah. I think for who you are as a person, I think people see that you are, you know, you have a vibe to you that you kind of welcome, you know, goodness and you sort of show like intentions of being, you know, artistic, easy to get along with. And I think
that's all I want, man. Yeah. It's like at the end of the day. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're a good guy, man. So thanks again for coming. Anything else you want to say?
Let's talk about Back to the Future. Let's get the hell off these mics.
All right. Let's get off these mics and talk about Back to the Future. I'm trying to think of a closer. What's a good closer? What's a good sign off?
I don't know. Like a song? Like
or a phrase? I'll start a sentence and then you finish it. How about that? Would that be fun?
I love that. You're so much better at this.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us in Conversations of a Room. Have a nice night and...
We'll see you never.
Okay. Goodbye.